Tonight, James eats rats, Mike farms for truffles, and Jorn tries to escape.
Hey, this is James from survivalpunk.com. Look at those levels.
Yeah, those are pretty good levels. And guess who's back in the passenger seat? It's Couch Potato Mike, back along for the ride with pride. Back in the seat. I bet you guys missed me. I know you do. I got all your tear-stained letters.
They for sure missed me because there was no podcast last week.
Oh my God, that's unheard of.
Yeah, my laptop shit the bed, so... It was so bad, it wouldn't even play porn anymore.
That's probably what killed it. Yeah. Oh, the keys are stuck together.
Yeah, so I had to...
Should this thing be growing hair?
Shout out to Jay. Jay gave me a laptop.
He gave you a laptop. That's just a... You just don't... We need more friends like that are just willing to give us expensive pieces of electronics.
Yeah. I mean, it's old, and he got a great deal on it, but...
You got a better one.
I got a better one. Yeah. I mean, it's not the greatest laptop ever.
Did you get your chair back when you went there?
No.
Ah, you bastard.
But it'll record podcasts. I doubt it.
That'd have been funny. He's like, hey, you want your chair?
No, I'll just leave it there. Just let you have it. Yeah.
Well, you traded it to him for a ratchet strap years ago.
Oh, yeah.
By accident.
But yeah, so we're back. And
yes, from outer space.
I have multiple methods to ensure that we will not miss a podcast again. The other laptop I did a fresh install on it, so it may be working now.
It's like it's regenerated.
It's like it's regenerated. So that may have been the problem, or maybe it's hardware failure. I don't know. This laptop, I through some finagling and doohickery, I have managed to I have a connector for. I have a way to turn my cell phone into a computer. And I'll show Mike later, like through using the Google Chromecast to stream my screen to my TV, using a connector to hook up a keyboard and mouse, Bluetooth keyboard and the OTG connector for the mouse. And then the Centio desktop to turn it into a desktop environment with a start menu. It's like you have a computer, basically.
It is. I mean, I know I've said this before, but it is crazy to think that right now in the palm of the hands of the vast majority of the people out there, all of our listeners surely have smartphones by now. But if you don't, you know, be like me. Be last of the race. But in our hands, we hold a computer more powerful. More powerful than the computers back in the 60s and 70s that used to take up entire rooms.
Yeah.
That didn't even have a screen.
More powerful than the computers on, like, the NASA space shuttles.
You know, it's funny. It was a while back. I saw this thing on crack.com. I haven't even been to Cracked in a while. But it showed a picture of this. It showed a picture of a Commodore 64. And it's like... The Commodore 64 pictured in this picture did not have enough storage space on it to store this picture of this Commodore 64.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like a famous quote from Bill Gates for like, no one will ever need more than 4 megabytes of memory or 4 bytes of memory or an amount so tiny you're like...
No one will ever need more than that?
Yeah.
Bill Gates said that?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so... Good job.
The better things go, the more people need of it. So that's the way it goes. So looks like we're gonna have an interesting. Oh yeah! Before we get into the meat of this show, I want to talk about a couple of things.
Okay.
First, me and my wife, we went to the Renaissance Festival. Tennessee Renaissance Festival happens every May on the weekends and on Memorial Day, which is usually the last, which is always the last day of the festival. And we went yesterday. And unlike, you know, because if you've ever been to a Renaissance Festival, you know, people are dressed like from the Dark Ages, from the Middle Ages, from the Renaissance, essentially. You'll see knights in shining armor and maids and stuff. And we went on pirate.
Or random, whatever the fuck they want to wear.
And that is where me and my wife came in. Because we showed up, I was dressed like Matt Smith as the 11th Doctor on Doctor Who. And my wife was basically dressed as a fancy TARDIS. And we walked around the, and dude, we were the talk of the fucking town.
Nice.
We were getting compliments left, right, and sideways. We were hearing people as we walked by whisper, hey, it's the Doctor, or hey, that's the TARDIS.
Yeah.
Oh, but dude, we had a couple of royal highlights. All right, it's funny. The true Whovians poked their heads out, like, really, really quickly. As we're walking in, one of the people that worked for the whole thing, you know, one of the people that worked for the Renaissance Fest, standing up on the wall, letting people in, greeting everybody. And he's like, good morrow, Doctor. Good morrow, sexy.
That's clever.
Yeah, that's where the true Whovians come in.
Yes.
It's the one day a year that I let people calling my wife sexy slide.
Yeah.
Because, like, she got called sexy twice. But there was this other guy there.
That
big.
The TARDIS's name.
Yeah, big, tall, fat, nerdy motherfucker. You know the guy that was, you know that big, fat nerd, the famous guy? He shows up all over the place. This dude reminded me of him, except bigger and less attractive, let's face it.
Oh, wow.
I don't think he listens to the show. If you do, dude, I'm sorry. But he's like, hi, Doctor.
Yeah.
Hi, sexy.
Oh, man.
Oh, dude, but the true highlights, this one chick came up. She was there with her man, and they just came up. She's like, oh, my God, I'm, like, such a huge fan of the show and all this stuff. I mean, almost getting starstruck. It was weird. Asked for our pictures, which was awesome, so we posed for pictures. And then all of a sudden we encountered this other girl. I mean, teenage. I mean, she looked like she was 18, 19, something like that. And she was dressed in the Renaissance garb and all that stuff. Real fancy dress. I mean, that dress that she was wearing looked like, ooh, that broke the bank on that one.
Yeah.
But as we were walking by, she looked straight at us. She's like, oh, my God. I mean, she started getting jittery. And then we started talking to her, and she started squealing.
Oh, my God.
Dude. And it's funny, I'm like, okay, because I'm sitting there, I immediately switch over to my Matt Smith accent, and I whip out my sonic screwdriver and scanner and flick it open, because I just got that new one that flicks open. I'm like, I think we detect a Whovian. And it's a good, and she's like, oh, and she's just getting all excited, and I'm like, and it's a good thing, too. I whip out my psychic paper show, because I am a fangirl inspector. And she just squeals. I mean, she was just, like, having a geekgasm right in front of me. And me and Andrea, we're just beaming, dude. We're just smiling so big. And we're just, I mean, all day that we're there, we're here, hey, it's the Doctor, or hey, it's the TARDIS. And she was getting so many compliments on her dress, dude. It was just, like, best day ever.
Nice.
It's funny, right? I mean, 5 minutes after we got there, we're walking through, and here comes a dude dressed like Captain Jack Harkness. I mean, not Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
Sorry. And I walked up, and me and him locked eyes with each other. He's like, Doctor? And I'm like, you're not the right Captain Jack. And he opens up this bag he's carrying and gives me a fake plastic gold coin and just keeps walking. Oh, my.
That's a hoot.
Nah, dude, we had a blast yesterday. It was so fun. But I mean, I got my turkey leg.
Yeah.
And it was completely overcooked, and we couldn't even bite through the skin. Me and Andrea couldn't bite through the skin. And we pulled off the skin and that horrible membrane, and we ate about half of it and wound up tossing the damn thing because it was just so, dude, it was horrible. It was so, I mean, I don't like turkey. She likes turkey. I were trying to eat it. It was chewy and it was rubbery, and we just wound up having to throw away $4.50 worth of turkey leg because it was. And the only reason we ate that much was because we paid $9 for a turkey leg.
I pretty much gnawed the marrow out of mine.
Well, you apparently got a good one. We got a shitty one.
Yeah.
I mean, so fucking overdone, dude. It was. They fucking murdered that turkey leg.
Too bad.
No, but we wound up getting more food and stuff. The kettle corn people didn't show up this year.
No, they weren't there on the weekend me and Serenity went.
No, they haven't been there all week. They haven't been there for the whole festival.
I wonder why.
Don't know. Nobody there knew. But we got our roasted ears of corn, which were amazing.
The day that me and Serenity went to the Ren Fair was also the day that Dixon had their flea market.
Uh-huh.
No kettle corn there either.
Really?
We found it very suspicious.
Makes me wonder if it's the same guy.
It's a kettle corn drought.
Oh, my God. If any of you out there in survival punk land have heard about a kettle corn drought, please notify us immediately at james@survivalpunk.com or couchpotatomike@couchpotatomike.com. Matter of fact, you can pretty much send any email to couchpotatomike@couchpotatomike.com because I never get any emails there.
Yeah.
Mainly because I keep forgetting to tell people about my, you know, website and my email, couchpotatomike@couchpotatomike.com. But that's not the only thing I want to talk about. Speaking of our survival punks out there in survival punk land,
yeah.
I'm going on a miniature survival punk punks tour.
Yay.
By miniature means I am driving around this country, or the southern part of it, and I'm going to go visit several, and by several I mean two, members of the survival punk punks. Todd out in Texas, going to be seeing you next Friday. Matt out in Oklahoma, Matt and Angela, I'm going to be seeing you guys the next Friday.
Sweet.
Yep, I'm going to be guest starring in a one of Matt's YouTube videos. I'm going to be sporting my. It's funny because I've been messaging with him. I'm like ready. I'm like, you ready for us? Because ready or not, here we come. Shit like that.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, talking about what we're going to do. We're going to, you know, the families are going to get to gather and break bread, share a meal, and shoot that YouTube video or whatever. And I'm like, I got to remember to bring my Me shirt. I texted that line to him. I got to remember to bring my Me shirt. After like 2 minutes, he texted me back. He's like, LOL, I had to read that sentence twice. It was great. And he'll not only be the first member of the Survival Punk Punks that I didn't already know, that I'll have met, he'll be the first strictly Facebook friend that I'll have ever met. Because, you know, I have plenty of Facebook friends that on Facebook that I met, but they were my friends first and then became friends on Facebook. This is the first time it's happened the other way around. So I'm really looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to meeting Matt and Angela, who's from Tennessee. I got a kick out of finding that out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he'll be the only one there not from Tennessee. Well, him and his kids.
What a loser.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Not but the kids, they're half Tennessee.
Matt is not a loser. Matt is a great guy who's got a jar of Bovril sitting there waiting for me.
Nice.
I love Matt. I'm going to give him a big old sloppy kiss when I see him.
Ugh.
You know he's waiting for it. He'll put that dress back on that he was wearing on Facebook a few months back for me.
Oh, my God.
He better. Wear some nice lipstick. I like hot pink, dude.
Yeah.
Only on lipstick, though.
Let's get into the show.
So, Mike, what have we got coming up this week? I don't know, Mike. What do we got coming up this week, James?
We have pet prepping.
Pet prepping?
And,
you know, people have pets.
I'll give it at the end. I was going to be like, if you have a I'll give it right now, too, and at the end. If you have a show topic or a question that you want to hear on the show, we actually have a phone number that we haven't told anyone about in months.
Oh, yeah, we do.
I'm like, I haven't got a voicemail in a while. And I'm like, oh, I haven't told anyone we have a voicemail line.
We need to start working that into the beginning of each episode.
Yeah. So if you want to leave us a voicemail, it is
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
No, that gets you Jeff Radke. This, you call area code 615-657-9104.
That number, once again, is 615-657-9104. Was that right?
What did the Brits call it? 9Z4?
Yeah,
9Z4.
9Z4.
9Z4. Yeah, that's it. And it will, I think now it actually, it used to not have the right message, but I think now it says, thanks for calling Survival Punk Podcast, leave your voicemail. Which is weird, because I think it also says that if people leave me a regular voicemail. People call me and they're like, I don't think this is right, but it is right. Before it was like, it was this Kirby leave your message like Mentos song knockoff that was funny, but people would leave a message and they're like, I think I left you a message, James, but the voicemail was weird. I'm like, yeah, that was me. yeah. So pet prepping. I
have a Jorn.
Well, I have a subscription to audible.com, which gives me like one credit a month, so I get one audiobook a month-ish. And
I wish they'd sponsor the show. You'd learn more about them that way.
Yeah. It's cheap. I don't really care. It's the only thing I really spend money on, like subscription wise. Like, I don't have Netflix or Hulu or any of that shit. I just
sponsor every other fucking podcast out there. Why can't they sponsor this one?
Yeah. So I had like 4 credits built up because I hadn't downloaded anything in a while because I was bootlegging the Harry Potter audiobooks and listening to them. Yeah. So I was like, I probably need to listen to a business podcast, business audiobook, and mm-hmm. I have before in the past, and there are several that I find to be really good. Gary Vaynerchuk's books are great.
I'm sorry, his name just sounds so perverse.
And he says it weird too. He's like Vaynerchuk. He's a crazy little guy. And I've been a fan of his long before. Like, he used to have the show on wine, and I'm like, I don't even like wine, but man, I can't stop watching this little fucker. He would like come out with white wine reviews and have like wrestling action figures. He's like, bringing the thunder today.
What the fuck?
Exactly. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna watch this shit. I mean, you can't help but like him. So yeah, I was like, okay, that, or I'm gonna find a book on like survival prepping, disaster, dystopian, something like that. And I'd been recommended many, many, many times to check out the book One Second After by William Forstner. So I did. I'd had that recommendation. I had that recommended so many times, and I'm like, why haven't I like read this? They're my contacts.
Oh.
So I got it, and I just finished it. I'll probably do a solo episode review on it since Mike will be gone next week.
Yes, I won't be here once again. I'm gonna go MIA.
Yeah, I'll Skype you.
Oh my god, we should.
But yeah. So I listened to that, and one of the things...
I could be the in-the-field correspondent.
You could. One of the things that, like, leapt out to me is the main character there. Well, I have a lot of issues with this main character. He does a lot of things that, like, I'm just screaming at the radio, like, you dumb fuck, what are you doing? And I'll talk about that in my review. Like, for example, the day after the power goes out, he has $60 in his pocket. What does he do? He goes and buys...
One.
$80 worth of cigarettes with like $20 of like IOU to the Haji Mart.
What the fuck? He has $60, so he gets $80 worth of cigarettes.
Yes. And then after he gets his smokes, he's like, huh, well, I got a type 1 diabetic daughter. Maybe I should go see if I can get some insulin, even though I don't have any money, because I already spent more money than I even have on cigarettes that I went to get first.
It sounds like his priorities are kind of ass backwards.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, well, I guess I better go get this. I better go to the doctor and see if I can get insulin. I don't have money or a prescription, and you know, whatever. When I got my smokes, though, it's like I had issues. But they also touched on the fact that he had 2 dogs, and he didn't prep for those 2 dogs. Like, he didn't prep for himself. I'm gonna have a long podcast on this book. There are good parts. There are a lot of things to be learned from the book, and pet prepping is one thing that I took away that I felt, one, I needed personally to address, and 2, would make a good podcast. And we're running long because
we had a big intro.
We had a big intro, yeah, but pet prepping.
Oh, yeah, and one other thing. If you were in either the Texas or Oklahoma areas and you would like a visit from Couch Potato Mike, drop me a line at couchpotatomike@couchpotatomike.com.
Yes. First of all, I would like to state your pets are not food preps. I have seen the snippet from that horrible piece of shit show Doomsday Preppers.
That you can eat your
where
pets?
Where someone was like, well, if the shit gets that bad, I'm just going to eat Fluffy the cat. You dumb son of a bitch.
Could you ever imagine a situation bad enough where you'd eat Jorn?
No.
He's your son.
It's like, Mike, could you imagine a situation where you'd eat your kids?
No, God no.
Exactly.
I can imagine a situation bad enough where I tell the kids, you know, if I go first, eat me.
Yeah. I mean, in some situations, I can kind of condone the eating of a pet, i.e., your child is going to die. Maybe your pet can go first, like that sort of that triage. Like, but to me, that's also the point where it's like, you have failed at prepping.
Yeah,
because if you're gonna take the responsibility of being a pet owner, of bringing these animals into your life and your family, and you fail to prepare for them, it's no different than you not providing for your family.
And I do want to, and I think we need to throw in some clarification out here. We are, when we're talking about these animals, we are talking about pets. We're not talking about farm animals.
No.
Livestock is a completely different thing, and those animals are perfect food preps.
Yes. If you have a flock of meat rabbits, you're doing good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even, you know what? At one point, I may get meat rabbits, and I will call them Bunny 1, Bunny 2, and Bunny 3. I will not give them names.
No, I wouldn't even give them designations.
Yeah. I think it's like an innate part of human, like we had to identify things. Before that, though, I will probably get some laying hens very soon, because I think they'll eat ticks, and we have ticks around here.
Oh, yeah. No. Fucking chickens are great for ticks.
Yeah.
Great for ticks.
And according to Google MD, I may have Lyme disease now. Or a brain tumor. Yeah.
Yeah, we're laughing now, but if you drop dead from a brain, it's like, well, he had this brain tumor. We could have got to it, but the Lyme disease exacerbated the condition.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Did you know he had mono?
Yeah. Oh, no, meningitis. That could be another one, too.
Oh, meningitis. Meningitis, okay, yeah. Sorry, you said yeah.
Yeah, meningitis.
I don't know where the fuck mono came from.
The Serenity's like, you better not have mono.
She's like, get out. I don't like it.
Yeah.
She just turned red as hell.
Yeah, so take responsibilities for your animals.
See you Thursday, Serenity.
Yeah.
She's part of my pet prepping. We're going out of town, and we've hired Serenity to be our house sitter.
Yeah.
To take care of our animals.
Because they'll just poop on the floor.
Yes.
Pets don't do well eating human food. And I think most of you know this, but I think some preppers may just think that they'll have enough people food to be able to give some scraps to the animals. And if those scraps are like your meat rabbits, probably going to work fairly well. But I would say that needs to be food extending, and you need to store food for your animals.
You know what? I am going to, and I so rarely ever get a chance to do this on the show, but I'm going to disagree with you on that statement.
Okay.
Well, years and years ago, me and my dad, we had a black lab, purebred lab, Kennel Club papers at all, named Buddy. And we bought that dog. During the course of the 4 years that we had that dog, we bought that dog one bag of dog food, and it hated it. And my dad, I don't know why, what wild hair got up his ass to start doing this. Basically, he just started making an extra plate of whatever the hell we were eating for the dog. That dog had regular vet strips, and that vet told us that that dog was one of the healthiest damn dogs he's ever met. Never had a problem with it until the day it died. And it died in somebody else's house because he gave it away. But
yeah,
still, I mean, but no, as long as we had it, that dog was healthy as a fucking horse. Never had any kind of problems whatsoever. And it lived its entire life eating human food. The only way it would eat dog food was if you coated it with bacon grease.
Mm.
And then it would only eat the parts that had bacon grease on it.
All right. Well, Mike's dog was an anomaly. I would not suggest feeding your dog a diet pure, or cat, of beans and rice.
Oh, God, no.
If that's your survival rations.
But you ever notice how many pet foods are, like, made of beans and rice?
I don't understand why. I'm not a big fan of that. Yeah.
It's filler and it's cheap.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of, and they add a lot of sweet potato in there, too. And I'm like, I've never seen a wild dog just go eat a sweet potato.
Dogs will eat avocados, though. Dogs love avocados.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a good food.
I used to have a poodle that liked drinking orange juice. That was weird, because dogs usually don't like citrus.
Well, I mean, Jordan the cat fucking loves vinegar and salt and vinegar pork rinds.
Yeah, but then again, those are made of pig skin.
Yeah. He's weird.
I don't think he cares about the salt and vinegar part as much as the cat is like, hey, this is like crunchy meat.
No. It is only the salt and vinegar flavor.
Really?
He does not like other pork rinds. He doesn't like plain pork rinds. He's like barbecued pork rinds. Only salt and vinegar. And a lot of times he will just lick the salt and vinegar off.
Okay, well then it's my turn to say that your cat is an anomaly.
Yeah. He loves salt and vinegar. Which I think I did some searching one time and some people were like, yeah, sometimes like animals just want that salt, like because you know deer and they get salt lick or whatnot. So yeah, it was probably just the salt content and the vinegar is just tasty. So yeah, I would suggest throwing a variety of pet food. So not all cans, not all dry, but a variety thereof. And you can go like typical prepper long term storage with like the dry food and like. Pack them in 5-gallon buckets in Mylar bags with our two absorbers.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going overboard. I really do. I really would not think that you need to go that huge extra step there for storing dried dog and cat food. What I would suggest, though, is to get fairly reasonable sized bags. I mean, you could get a 50-pound bag because they're cheaper when they get bigger.
That's what I was going to suggest. Yeah, the bigger the bag, the cheaper you're actually paying per pound.
Right. However, sometimes the larger bags will expire. But what I would do is
not in my house.
Get a well, not in your house. No.
The cats eat the dog food in my house.
Yeah. Get a metal trash can, the cheapest metal trash can you could find, like the hobo stew trash can, like
those
$9-$11 or whatever.
Those big traditional metal trash cans that you see the bums on the New York streets, you know, building fires in.
Right before cities started putting spikes beneath their bridges so the bums can't sleep down there.
They did what?
Some cities to prevent bums from sleeping underneath overpasses.
Put spikes down there?
Spikes down there, like at intervals where there's no, like, you could maybe wiggle through them, but you certainly can't lay down and sleep or put your trash.
Oh, so they're not close enough together. Because if they were too close together, you'd just have a bunch of Indian bums out there sleeping on them.
Yeah, no, it's.
You see how racist I went then? Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll show you a picture sometime. But
oh, you're going to have.
Fucking government.
Fucking let the homeless
sleep. So yeah, get one of those metal trash cans and just throw your bags in there. If they're smaller bags, you know, like if cat food, you generally not going to find like a 50-pound bag unless it's the cheapest crap shit ever.
You know, my dad used to do that. He had a big metal trash can that he kept brimming with dog food.
Yeah.
Well, that was back when we had Max. He was a German Shepherd. Big motherfucking dog. Goofy. Happiest retard I've ever met in my damn life, but God, that fucking dog could eat. I mean, he would eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. There's times where he thought that he was literally trying to make his stomach explode.
Oh my God. A lot of times, dogs and animals in general are a lot like men, in which case, we will stuff ourselves to puke. No. You know, animals.
I only do that when I'm homeless outside of a pizza place.
Yeah. Or eating butter for a contest.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, that's what I would suggest doing. Because not only do your animals like the bagged animal food, dog, cat food, whatever, so do rodents.
Oh, yeah.
And, I'm not really that trustworthy of ye old 5-gallon plastic buffet of holding out rodents, because they'll just eat right through it and they'll eat your food.
You know, if I could take a sidestep here for a minute, there is a piece of information that I learned yesterday that I just want to pass on because you reminded me of rodents, okay? Now, if you live in a city or whatever, you know, somewhere well-populated and you're a litter bug, please don't throw your discarded food waste on the side of the road. And it's not because I'm an Indian standing there with a tear running down my cheek, okay? It's not for that reason, all right? Don't do that. You know why? Because food discarded on the side of the road attracts mice and attracts rats. And you know what mice and rats attract? They attract hawks. They attract falcons. They attract owls. They attract birds of prey. And you know what happens when birds of prey land on the highway? They get hit by fucking cars. Please don't kill the fucking birds. Thank you.
And if the shit hits the fan, you see that, then go eat the birds of prey and the mice.
Yes, if the shit hits the fan.
Yeah.
Hey, Sylvester Stallone taught me you can make a damn tasty rat burger.
I would eat that, too. So, yeah.
As long as I didn't see
the
rat.
I would skip the Mylar bags and just... And I wouldn't even pour them out. I would leave them in their packaging because they're sealed, and usually those packagings are... They're usually a little bit better than just, like, paper. There's usually, like... They're usually built...
Like those
decent-ish.
Yeah, those 50-pound bags of dog food, a lot of times... I mean, it's double-lined. I mean, you got the paper label, but it's over a tougher whatever the hell that is. I mean, it's some kind of a paper. But it's like a thick, waxy paper.
Yeah, and the smaller cat food bags are pretty much Mylar.
Yeah.
They're sealed good. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not impervious. They break all the time fairly easily.
I mean, that's the thing. If you've got one of those little dogs that's on one of those fancy little diets where you have to pull out the crystal thing, you know, and cut its food up on it like they do in the commercials, fortunately, most of that food either comes in vacuum-sealed packs or cans, which will last for a pretty good while.
Yeah. And I'd also, like I said, that's the dry food there. I'd also suggest having some canned food and... giving them a little bit of variety.
Yeah, do you want to eat the same goddamn thing every single fucking day of your life? No. Why would your dog?
Yeah.
I saw that commercial, too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've had pets all my life. I know a thing or two about a thing or two.
Yeah. And the nutritional value is a bit different. Canned food, and I've noticed this with my own cat, Join the Cat, canned food is very moist.
Oh, yeah.
And... when Jordan only eats canned foods, he does not drink any water, really. Because there's enough moisture in the liquid cat food, in the canned cat food, he doesn't touch his water. I started switching back to a little bit of dry food recently to make them both last, because I'm starting to build up his stockpile of food, because I don't want him to starve to death and die if the shit hits fan. And he went through a bowl of water in, like, you know, half a day, when normally it just sits down there and I'd pour it out and put him new water in there. So it's like every once in a while he'll like take a drink, but usually it just sits down there. So with the dry food, you're going to have to obviously think about that water support, you know, so it's a gallon per day per person in your family for water. And you got to consider that into your animal preps as well. Mm-hmm. If on days that they're eating just the canned food, you probably don't have to think very much about their water supplements. It'll be very little. So that's a way to save a little bit of water there, you know, and give them the nutrients they need. And I know some people will probably sit there and say things like, well, why don't you just store cans of tuna or whatever for your cat or your dog because they're meat products? Well, it's not going to be nutritionally optimal. I mean, one, it's heavily processed and heavily cooked, and it doesn't cats in the wild will eat raw meat, but when you cook the meat, it destroys some of the nutrients like taurine found in raw meat that cats need. So there was an experiment done, you know, back in the time of science where you could do anything you wanted and not get in trouble.
Let me guess, they had a group of cats on canned cat food, a group of cats on canned tuna.
It was cooked meat versus uncooked meat.
Oh, okay.
This is probably before they even had commercial canneries to do that.
Like, the raw meat cats, I'm guessing, were thriving.
They started getting... Well, yeah. The raw meat cats didn't suffer genetic deformations.
Oh, God. They went that far with it.
Yeah. Like, the cats that were eating cooked meat started getting, like, scrunched up little faces and stuff. And, like...
Oh. Is that why Jorn is all squinty?
No.
Is he a squinty Jorn?
Get sort of,
you can't even see me, can you?
He can see fine.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm not, you know, like you could probably spend a lot of money to get the highest quality dog food and cat food, and it'll have all the nutrients, but there's sort of a fine line of like, you got to store enough for them to eat long term. I would say just buy food branded towards your animal and not try to supplement it with, like, oh, just get regular canned meat or whatever. Like, it's not going to have the right nutrient profile if you know, if you have cans of tuna fish, an casual can of tuna fish is not going to hurt your animal, but a pure diet of people canned meat, probably not going to give them the nutrients they need.
Yeah, it's okay to supplement, just not to make it the sole source.
Right. And I kind of want to touch on it, like, what your animal eats in peacetime doesn't necessarily need to be the same that they eat in shit hit the fan time.
You know, before we get too far off it, I do want to, because you've given plenty of time to dogs and cats, I do want to just briefly talk about food preps for other animals. Fortunately, when you get into the birds, because a lot of people out there have birds. I mean, parrots are like the third most popular animal on the planet.
Yeah.
Right after fucking dogs and cats to have as pets. Fortunately, most birds, their food comes in big plastic containers with screw tops.
Yeah.
And those damn things, I mean, it's usually nuts. A lot of times, most of the time, in fact, they're in the shells. It's like sunflower seeds for some things. I mean, they'll just leave them in the shells. These things will keep for a very long time, okay? So that's good. Same with most of your rodents, your hamsters, your gerbils, your guinea pigs, shit like that. Most of the time, their food will also come in those nice plastic screw-top containers that you can stock up on for a while. Now, when it gets to fancy rats, because I've had rats, I never bought them food. Never bought them food. Had three of them for months and months. Never went out and bought rat food.
Table scraps?
Table
scraps. They could eat everything.
Yeah, pretty much table scraps and, like, produce that we weren't going to eat, like, the butt of the lettuce.
Yeah.
Oh, and leftover popcorn. Yeah, basically, those rats, I treated them like sewer rats. And you know what? They were thriving. They were happy and healthy and fat rats.
Yeah. Slightly off topic. One time, while going down the sewer drain of the internet, I ended up either on an entire forum or a forum thread on a forum about people that strictly raise hamsters and gerbils for meat.
Oh, yeah, like...
They're like little fucking hams. I'm like, oh my God.
Certain places in, like, I think Holland, guinea pigs are considered a delicacy. I might be thinking, that might be Iceland. I don't know. This is one of those fucking Northern European places.
Right.
It's funny because I keep screwing up. There's one country over there where guinea pigs are a delicacy, but there's one country over there where it's illegal to have one guinea pig.
Hmm.
You can only get them in pairs. And they actually have, like, they actually have online, like, guinea pig matching sites. If you have a guinea pig whose mate died or whatever and you have a sole guinea pig, where it'll match your guinea pig with another guinea pig to move into with.
Okay.
Because it's completely illegal because they're social animals. I mean, you will get major fines for having one guinea pig.
Oh, fucking weird government.
And I think that one's Holland.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
In my mindset, when you get past dogs and cats, is when I start to be like, you become a lot more edible, my friends. Birds and aquarium fish and hamsters and gerbils. I'm like, your food. And
oh, fish.
If you love your gerbil, then, you know, it's a completely different thing, but...
Fortunately, fish food, same deal as the others. Plastic containers, usually with screw tops.
Yeah.
Smaller animals, it's so much easier to, like, bulk up on their stuff because it lasts fucking forever.
Yeah. I don't know. The only fish I would want would be, like, stock fish to eat. Like, if I can get, like, tilapia stock tank going, yeah.
Yeah, but it's not just, you know, it's not just that. I mean, you have to we're not just talking about, you know, like completely prepping for the apocalypse. I mean, a lot of people out there, the apocalypse is going to hit and they'll already have these animals.
Right. And I mean.
And you've got a very short window of time to fucking go and get the conveniences once that happens.
And this can take a wild variety. Like, this could be like, the shit hits fan could be you lose your job. So having pet food stockpiled to last until you get a new job and get up on your feet, that takes off that burden. Like, I mean, just because you lost your job, do you want your family and your animals to die? I mean...
See, and this can all be led back into one of your principles that I've heard you mention multiple times on the show. Basically, if you need one, buy two.
Yeah. Yeah, so...
That
go
way,
and buy a bag of dog food and buy two bags of dog food.
Now you've got one sitting, that you've got one just in case. Because you never know. I mean, the company that you're working at that's been there for like the past 100 years could be victim of a hostile takeover and bought out, and you could be fired tomorrow.
Yep.
That could happen with anybody. Nobody's safe. I mean, Walmart, as global as it is, could go under like that under the right circumstances. All of them could.
Yep.
Nobody's safe out there, so you always have to keep that in mind.
Yeah. So, unlike humans, because we've lost most of the instinct, a lot of animals still have that primal instinct. And
oh, yeah.
They can go hunt and forage for their own food fairly well.
After the shit hits the fan, it's just going to be roaches and pigs left.
Yeah. So, yeah, the cats will go find the right plants that they can eat. And if you are a cat owner and your cat goes outside or even sometimes inside, you'll probably know because they'll bring you dead animals as presents. Like, look what I got!
Jorn doesn't because you never let him outside.
No. He does swat at flying insects and whatnot. I've had a few ants in the house recently, and
he's not a fan.
He won't fuck with them.
I have had fucking animals leave dead birds in the goddamn living. That pisses me off so much. And you know damn well as soon as you throw it out, that dog in his mind is like, hey, you bastard, that was a gift for the family.
Yeah. You have no respect, Mike. You're just
and you know why they do that? And just for pet owners out there, if your cat leaves a mouse in your slippers or at the foot of your bed, you know what it's saying to you? It is saying, you're too helpless to fend for yourself. Here, I will take care of you. Yeah. And that's legitimately what the animal is doing when they leave you a dead animal. They are trying to take care of you because you are a helpless thing in their eyes that can't fucking hunt for itself. Incidentally, by flushing your poop, you're also showing your cat that it has dominance over you. But I won't get into that right now.
Yeah. What is Jordan doing up
there?
Where is
he? What the fuck is he doing? Is he trying to dig his way out?
I don't know. Sometimes he goes to those window vents up
there.
Dude,
he's biting at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's trying to dig his way out of your house, dude.
Yeah.
He's like, I felt air up here. Maybe I can get out there.
The same thing over there. Yeah. So yeah, you can let your animals out to forage to supplement their food so it can go a little bit longer, which is a good thing. And like I said, what you feed them in happy times, much like yourself, you're probably going to have to go on reduced rations.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of sucks, you know, unless you are a billionaire prepper and you've stockpiled like enough food to last you for 50 years, probably going to have to eat a little bit less food than you eat now.
Yeah,
and for a lot of us, probably not a bad thing. A lot of us could probably afford to eat a little less.
And as I've said 1,000 times, it's called survival. It's not called living.
Yeah, not living it up for sure. But as a prepper, there's no reason that it has to be miserable either. A little discomfort never really hurt anybody.
Hey, a little discomfort is a small price to pay for, you know, waking up the next morning.
Exactly. And that is the first rule of survival. Waking up.
Yep, waking up, keeping the heart beating in the lungs, pumping air in and out of you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so keeping your animals well-fed and functioning does a lot of good for you. These animals were welcomed into our homes throughout history for jobs. And if the shit hits the fan, some of these old jobs may be called upon them again.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs for protections, not just for their people, but for livestock guardians, keeping things away. Cats historically were used to keep rodents out of your foodstuffs.
Plus, dogs are certain breeds of dogs are great for finding certain things.
Exactly.
You know, over in France, they now use beagles to sniff out truffles instead of pigs.
Did not know that.
You know why? Beagles can find the truffles, but they don't want to eat them.
Yeah.
Pigs like to find the truffles because they like to eat them.
Dude, that would be the holy grail if we can find out how to, like, commercially grow truffles.
Over here?
We destroy the market. I mean...
Well, there's people that do it.
No, you can't commercially grow them. They have to grow wild, and you have to go find them.
But there's still people out there that make their whole living on fucking truffle farming.
Right.
You basically buy the land where the fucking shit grows wild, and... It's the weird... Truffles are a weird mushroom for growing underground.
They are.
Which is why they're so sought after. And apparently they're so yummy.
The last thing to talk about is pet medicine.
We're already the last thing?
Yeah.
Well, we're pet medicine.
Already past an hour, I think.
I don't think we are. No, 24. No, we're not even to 45 minutes yet. Oh.
Well.
We're doing good.
9:59, we're...
Oh, yeah, you need to get to Sleepy Bye.
Yeah, so pet medicine.
I was hoping you'd talk about pet medicine.
Yeah. You can talk to your vet if they are a good vet and they are chill and see if you can get, extras on some of your regular medicine, heartworm medicine, whatnot. A lot of them are dicks, though, and they probably won't do it. So if you have a good one and you're like, well, you know, I'm trying to... If you explain it rationally about you're trying to just, you know, have extras in case they may or may not play ball with you, if they won't, go to your co-op store and get the livestock variants of the medicines,
yep.
Which are sold without prescription.
And are virtually the exact same things.
Yeah, so dog heartworm medicine is the chemical ivermectin. You can get... horse ivermectin or pig ivermectin, pure ivermectin. Make sure that the container says, like, pure ivermectin, not like five other chemical ingredients. Like, there, you know, you may have like filler space, but you want basically pure ivermectin. And then look up charts online. I don't have them. You'll have to look them up on the ratio because it comes in a paste, not like a nice fancy pill. Like, you'll get a squeeze tube, like a giant fucking thing of like toothpaste of this medicine. It's like for this weight animal, you use this much of a, you know, little pea-sized dollop of ivermectin or whatever and get them to eat it or mix it with their food or whatever. And then that, I mean, one, it's super affordable.
Oh, yeah.
And you can stockpile it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just one example of the ivermectin. The, you can get fish eye antibiotics and get them. I'd be a little bit weary on using them, you know. Not like willy-nilly, use it like a Band-Aid and slap it on everything. Like, If your animal gets gouged open and you think there's an infection there, maybe it's time to use that.
But not for fucking everything, the way the doctors prescribe antibiotics for every fucking thing.
Having some flea medicine.
That's going to be important.
That's going to be important. It is pricey, and it is, you know, if you're a hippie, it is a toxic chemical. It is, I mean, it has like 1,000 warning labels on all of it. I looked up some hippie alternatives for flea medicine, and since your animals need flea medicine, this might be something you want to give them a try, Mike, because if you bought flea medicine for all of your animals, it would be about $250,000.
Yeah, no, we've already... Andrew's already handled that. And I want to give one tip out there for people with animals for as far as fleas go.
Uh-huh.
Febreze. Febreze kills ants, fleas, and other small insects on contact as good as Raid.
Hmm.
And doesn't have the horrible smell to go along with it.
Oh, yeah.
Makes you wonder what the fuck they put in Febreze, doesn't it?
Kind of scary.
But yeah, it will. I mean, I've literally sprayed... Because occasionally ants will get into the house. Hell, occasionally ants will get into my workplace.
Yeah.
And if you spray them with Febreze, it's not that they wander off and die. It kills them on the spot.
I'm pretty sure it's... And someone in the comments, if you know, leave a comment.
Or and it kills email me fleas, too, which is the main point I was trying to make.
It's either baby powder or baking soda. If you put that across a pathway, baking an ant soda. Will not pass it.
It's baking soda.
Yeah, they'll get to it and they'll just, yeah. I don't know what it is, but they can't pass it.
Yeah, so basically you can put some on the outsides of your door frames, your windowsills, shit like that.
Yeah.
Boom, you've now got ant barricades.
Yeah. Fucking weird, but they won't do it.
Yeah. It's weird the stuff that works. I mean, certain household chemicals, insects just know they're not natural and they will kill them.
Yeah. So here, I have three recommendations for you for homemade pet spray.
Your cats.
No. Ugh. No. you can make a mixture of one half water and one half apple cider and spray your animals with it.
Apple cider or apple cider vinegar?
Apple cider vinegar.
Okay.
Apple cider vinegar.
Sorry, I just had to make you specify that.
And you spray it with them. You're going to want to... one, get a flea comb.
Apple cider vinegar is just one of those amazing
things. It is. And you're probably going to want to use the real organic apple cider vinegar with the mother, or make it yourself. I would just stockpile it. It's fairly cheap.
Yeah. Cool thing about vinegar, it keeps.
Yeah.
Oh, it keeps.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's already gone bad, technically.
Yeah. If you fuck up making wine or beer, you usually end up with
some with form vinegar. Of vinegar. Yeah.
So win-win there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that spray them down, coat them with it, and then it will not kill the fleas, but they will want nothing to do with being on your animal.
No. Yeah.
So they'll get the fuck off.
That's basically a little wet eviction notice.
So yeah, spray them with that, flea comb them, or flea comb them, hit it with it, flea comb them, something like that. It'll get them off. And you know, it's not the worst smell in the world.
Oh, what, you know, and one thing about those flea combs, if I might just make a little suggestion, if you have kids out there, and the vast majority of us do at some point in our lives, you've probably had a lice scare at some point. Okay. So you have to go out and get lice medicine. Inside those boxes of lice medicine comes with a very fine tooth lice comb.
Keep it.
Yeah. I mean, you can always wash it with hot water and sterilize it after you're done, you know, combing any possible nits out of your kid's hair. But keep it, because it's also going to be equally as good for getting fleas off of dogs and cats.
Oh, that almost fucked us up. Windows Update was going to try to restart in 14 minutes.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm like, no, you ain't. The next one. I'm gonna...
Not on my watch!
Yeah, we're going to wrap this up. That's an inside joke. You'll have to message me personally if you want to know what it is, because that will never get said on air.
Oh no. Oh no, Jake Sully.
Lemon. Lemon is another natural flea remedy. Let's see. Take a couple of lemons, 1 to 3, depending on how strong you want to be. Slice them very thin, keeping the peel on. Place the slices in a pint of water. Bring to a boil, then let it steep overnight. Place the lemon-infused water in a spray bottle and spray away. Once again, use your flea comb or your lice net comb and just get them out of there. Because I don't think that lemon kills fleas, but they don't like it and they'll leave.
It's just one of those things. It's a deterrent.
If you do want to kill them, though, I found this and I was like, I got to thinking. I was like, I bet I know something that'll kill fleas. And it'll be supernatural and can't harm the animal or the human.
Oh.
And I was like, I looked it up to confirm my suspicions.
Mm-hmm.
I was right. And it would be really easy to stockpile on. It's diatomaceous earth, which is ground up volcanic rock, if I'm not wrong.
Oh.
And so it's some people use it as a dietary supplement for like gut bacteria health and stuff. Because it's basically like clay powder.
Oh, wow. Really? People eat that shit?
Yeah. Oh. Completely non-toxic. Really, it's not good to breathe it in. It is a very fine powder.
I can imagine.
You really don't want to breathe it in, but it probably won't hurt you, to be honest.
But does it count as a mineral?
It's silica dust.
Well, I mean, hell, it wouldn't be the first rock humans ate. Look at salt.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, it's no problem to consume it or get it on us or our pets. But the tiny particles of silica get embedded in the exoskeletons of all insects.
Oh, God.
And basically shred them like a tree chipper.
Oh, wow. Really?
It goes into all of their, like, skin cells and just rips them to shreds.
Oh, that sounds horrific.
It's like a great pesticide. And I was like, well, what if you just sprinkle some of it on your, like, cats and dogs? Like, just as a powder.
It's not going to hurt the cats and dogs.
Right, yeah, and it's a lot safer than, you know, the toxic flea medicine you're using. So you just powder their coats. I would do it outside just so that, you know, it's not as easy to breathe it in.
Do it outside. It's going to kill the fleas.
It doesn't matter if they lick any of it. No, you work it into their skins, and then I'd flea comb them later on.
Yeah, and plus, but would that make existing fleas scatter?
I don't think it matters.
You don't, yeah.
Because it's going to get on. It's going to get on them. It's going to get on their...
Very true.
I'm pretty sure it'll shred the eggs, too.
Hmm. So you know what? You might actually want to do a combination of one or two of these things, of a couple of them together. You know, I would start by with something that'll get the fucking do that, and then you can with the fucking volcanic rocks that'll kill your initial crop, and then you can do maintenance with a spray bottle.
Yeah. I mean, so once you kill them all off, you spray them with the vinegar mixture, and that makes them unappealing to get on. So, and the idea of using diatomaceous earth to basically wood chipper a bunch of insects, I'm okay with that.
Of course you're okay with that.
I would probably go to pick up some diatomaceous earth to spread around my tiny house for ticks.
Oh, yeah.
Because
we back up to the woods. There's always ticks around here. And not just one type of ticks. There's multiple types of ticks.
And fuck
ticks. You got
ticks.
These tiny little ticks, and you got the big old fat ticks.
Yeah.
And fucking blood suckers. Anything that steals your blood's just asking for fucking trouble.
Yeah. I would, and I think diatomaceous earth should be in your preps for all the reasons I mentioned. Self-destructing insects. Love it.
Yeah, you got to love stuff that has multiple uses.
And if you have suggestions, please email me or leave a comment on the blog.
Or send us a voicemail. Tell them that voicemail number. Tell them that phone number one more time, James.
I will do that. Why is it? I hate when it does that. I hate when you are on a tab and then it has to reload the tab that you're on the tab.
Why would it have to reload a tab?
Fuck if I know.
I don't get it. The phone number. It's your goddamn website. Why would it? I mean, you didn't do anything with it during the interim.
No. The phone number is area code 615-657-9104.
Once again, that number is 615-657-9104. So you can leave a voicemail with a comment or a question or an idea for a show topic for us here.
Yeah.
He does check this thing.
I do. And I do not think I've got a question in a while.
Because we keep forgetting to give everybody the phone number.
Because we keep forgetting to give the number out. Yeah. There may be one I haven't covered yet. I have to go back and look in the archives. But I think we've caught up. And even if I didn't answer the questions in a Q&A type show, I like the idea well enough to just say that's a whole episode. Just and if you heard the show, you're like, oh, that's I gave him that idea. Unless you're sitting there thinking, like, I think James should do an episode on pet prepping. Because, no, William Forschner and One Second After gave me that idea. And be looking out for that review next week.
And then I forgot completely what I was going to say. I had something profound, some kind of epiphany, something that was going to change the world, completely slipped off the end of my tongue.
Were you also going to tell people that they should consider joining the Survival Punk Army?
That was probably it.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't it. But you should, because the Survival Punk Army wants you!
Yes. And there will be more things coming soon. Now that I have a laptop again and I can work on some things.
Yay, Lappy. He's Lappy 3.0.
Lappy 386. The store, Survival Punk used to have a store. The store should be returning soon.
Where'd it go?
I just got rid of it.
Oh.
I pretty much ran out of shirts. And then the new store will be integrated with the drop shipping store I have. So that when you order a shirt from the new company that makes the shirts, i.e. the people that I got your shirt from, mm-hmm. and then all the fairly new Survival Punk shirts, except for the Four Horsemen Don't Tread on Punk shirts. That was a Teespring campaign. But all the other shirts, they come from a company that I submit the order, and they print shirts one at a time. So I don't have to keep stock because I live in a tiny house.
Yeah.
I don't have room to keep shirts.
Storage is a precious commodity.
Yeah, and I'd rather keep beans and rice and cat food, so...
Beans and rice and cat food.
Yep.
That makes for a horrible salad.
Yum. Yes, join the Survival Punk Army. New things should be coming fairly soon. There are ebooks, there are discounts. I've heard of a new thing called Discord. It's a chat. I think I'm going to start doing a monthly chat, a monthly video thing. I've talked about this before, but I think I'm going to start doing it.
I refuse to use Discord.
Why?
I'd rather use Datcord.
Oh, yeah. And
yeah, you see what I did there?
I think I'm going to launch a Patreon for...
Patreon?
A Patreon for
YouTube. I've
heard
of them.
Yeah, it's... People on YouTube do it, and it's...
The people that interviewed me for that other podcast, see, here's the thing.
They have a Patreon?
They have a Patreon.
It's basically a membership site that takes all the work out for you. Like, you just sign up for it, and people can sign up. And you can be found on Patreon, which is... I like it, because it's kind of an advertisement.
Huh, so, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Did not know that.
Yep. So, new things coming in the stores. New stores. New things in store. I think that's it. Now that I have a new laptop, I'm gonna try to get the interview software working again. Oh, I was a guest on the Old Dudes New Tricks podcast recently. I'll find a link, put that up for you guys. The topic was loosely firearms for beginners, but we went off topic so hard.
You have that effect on people, don't you?
Yeah, it's. We just kind of rambled and had fun. We ended up talking about the government, and I was tired and frustrated because my laptop shit itself during that podcast. So I had to...
Oh, that's when it happened?
That's when it happened.
I had
to use my cell phone and the microphone for that.
One of these days, you're going to learn how to smile properly in a photograph.
Yeah. But that's it. Thanks for listening to this episode with Couch Potato Mike.
It can't be over already.
It's over.
It is.
Time for Nine Nine.
Well, on that terrible disappointment, I guess it actually is time to end. So, for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sick One Burnett.
Look for me in Texas and Oklahoma, but not too damn hard, because I'm on vacation.
DIY to prep for your pet's use, guys.
Use, guys!